It's Tuesday, the 29th of September, and it's time to get your grin on with a Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Nikki.
Hello.
And Puce.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. We're going to be talking about the news rather than, you know, that thing that Nikki did last week. However, if you prefer the show as it was last week, where it's mainly discussion about a single topic, then do let us know in the comments or leave a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever it's called, and let us know, because we would love to cater towards our audience rather than force people to listen to what we want to talk about.
I just want to have more unplanned madness on the podcast.
Rather than planned
madness. Yeah, exactly.
I hate having to schedule my psychopathic breaks. So let's start, as we always do, with what's everyone been playing. Take us away, Nikki.
Hello. Right. Well, you know how this goes right now. You've reached this. It's the 2 minute segment of the podcast where Nikki reminds everyone that she's still playing Azura Lane and is still very much in gacha hell. There's so many good waifus at the minute, and the event is going for another week. I am frantically trying to get hold of all of them, having to grind levels, get currency, and just I want all the waifus. There's no ifs or buts about it. However, I did a fun thing about Azura Lane. I recently found out how to actually get a copy of all your data from Google. So I did that. I've been doing this for every platform just as like a weird side thing. Like, what information do these people have on me? But the Google data includes a copy of all the purchases you've ever made. Turns out, in 2 years, I've spent £46 on Azura Lane. most of which was buying gems to buy wedding rings. So, yeah. But over 2 years, I'm okay with that. I probably spent the same amount on Overwatch. And Overwatch was also a full-priced game, so.
Yeah, when you bring
does that include buying the game?
No, that would be like £40-50 of microtransactions on top of the price of Overwatch. Because for some reason I was obsessed with loot boxes, and I'm noticing a pattern here now. but otherwise, more Animal Crossing. I forgot to buy turnips this week, so I haven't touched Animal Crossing this week. But
this week, you forgot to buy them this week, and last week, and the week before.
No, I bought them the week before, and the week before that, thank you very much. I forgot to sell them last week.
Right.
Which is worse. So now I have like 400 rotting turnips on my island. I'm just like, I'll deal with it later.
You just create and fertilize an island.
I like to imagine that like my character in Animal Crossing is just sat there silently crying to themselves, and all the villagers are just like, are they okay? do we need to help them?
I'm trying to console.
Yeah. It's like they're just like staring at their hands like, why can't I make money?
Why have I got all this rotting vegetable flesh?
Everything I touched rots. Villagers backing away. On top of that, got back into Destiny 2 a little bit, kind of slowly working my way. I found a handy little online platform that basically lets you link your account, and it tells you everything you have and don't have, so I'm trying to prioritize my time for Destiny ahead of the culling, shall we say, of November 10th when the new expansion drops. Picked up Code Vein, finally. I'd been saying for a while that if Code Vein went under £20, I would buy it. It went to £19.99. So I bought it, because I'm a sucker. I've literally played that game for about 3 hours, most of which was spent in photo mode. Good game. Like, it's really good, though. Like, if you've played the beta or the demo, which basically gives you up to the first boss, which is about an hour's worth of gameplay, I've kind of gone a bit further than that, but I haven't got to the second boss, because, again, photo mode. But it's a nice game to kind of sit down, put on a podcast, and kind of just mindlessly run around and farm, because it's one of those Souls-like games. However, every other game I've been playing is now no longer important, because a new game came out that we've actually all been playing, and I think we're going to talk about it a little bit more after we've listed everything else we've been playing. So that's my games for the week. I will come back to that mystery one when you two are finished.
Okay, Puce, take us away.
Right, this week I oddly had the urge to. I've wanted to play Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and it dawned on me that I'd not played Rise. So I thought, well, I may as well just do the whole trilogy. So I reinstalled Tomb Raider from 2013 and played through that and finished it. And my God, her friends are whiny idiots that all ought to just drown. And I don't know why she bothers trying to save them, because they're all awful people. But yeah, that game's a lot clunkier than I remembered it being. I remembered it being quite slick, but it really wasn't. I found it really odd going back to the 2013 game. And it'd be interesting what I think of Rise and then Shadow when I eventually get around to starting those, which may be delayed now because of a certain game that we're going to talk about. Outside of Tomb Raider, I've been playing two other games. Moro Crystal H, which is a sequel to Moro Chronicle, which is a kind of sequel to Monster Monpiece, which I'm reviewing for the site. It's a very stereotypical Japanese dungeon role-playing game, except it's extremely lewd and it's absolutely chock full of sexual content, to the point that if this was Sony a few years ago, you'd have gone, oh yeah, I can understand that. But Nintendo in 2020, it's like, I don't know what universe I'm in anymore.
If I remember, isn't this the Monster Monpiece? Wasn't that the one that originally was on the Vita? And to power up your cards, you had to basically jack off the Vita.
Yeah, you had to rub the screen very vigorously. And this has got a similar mechanic. The monster girls in this game. The idea is it's a dungeon crawler where you recruit monster girls as you try to retrieve the dark bra and light panties, which pretty much you know what you're going to get. But it is really on the nose with all the sexual references. And the main character, he stores and releases his energy. And when he releases it, he inserts it into one of the monster girls. So there's absolutely no room for for any sort of subtlety here. It's pretty on the nose. When you recruit the girls, you have to defeat them by rubbing them, as you would expect, being a sequel to Monster Monpiece. When you're playing in handheld mode, it's not too bad because rather than rub, you kind of tap. So it's quite the mini game's over quite quickly because you just sort of tap three or four times in different places, which makes her come to her senses, apparently. But if you're playing docked, it maps the rubbing controls onto the two analog sticks. So you end up rolling the two analog sticks in a circle, and it's rather loud and noisy. And there's not really a way you can do it in a discreet manner. So, yeah, it's one of those games. It's as a dungeon crawler, it's pretty by the numbers. It's pretty unremarkable. A lot of the monster girls and characters in it are actually quite amusing, and they are worth the conversations and things. They are fun, but the game itself is very bland, unfortunately. But as a concept, it's pretty crazy. And the other game I've been playing is an adorable little resource gathering roguelite, I suppose you would call it, called As Far as the Eye. And the basic concept is you guide a small troop of kind of shapeless but cute kind of bird-like creatures. They kind of adapt. They change shape depending on what job they end up getting. But the idea is you control this small group of creatures on small hex-based maps with resources dotted around. And the idea is you go from one small map to the next, and you have to carry resources from each map to the next in a way that you can progress to the eye at the end. And it's absolutely adorable. The art style is really cutesy. It does have a sinister overtones in that you technically play the wind, and how the game justifies how these creatures perform tasks like go and mine or go and chop down trees for wood, is that you're whispering to them, and the sound design is quite good in that every time you do something you hear like a little kind of noise. And sometimes it's like when you've got headphones on, it's really creepy, because you're saying to one of them, go over here, and you just get a, and it's really unnerving.
Is it the voices in your head talking, or is it the game?
So to be honest, it's 2020. I'm not sure anymore. The one thing that I do really like about it is the narrative is really nice. It's kind of told like a fable story, like this is the world long past or to come, and basically there's nothing left apart from nature and the small tribes still struggling along, and every now and again you'll encounter ruins that have like random events, and they're all text based. And like sometimes you get like a decision to make, like you do in kind of Civ style things. But one of them really stuck with me, and that one of my little pupils, those they're called, the little cutesy guys, he was going to check on this ruin, and it said that there was this mirror stood in a clearing, and he could see a copy of himself stood waving back at himself, inviting him towards the mirror, and he stepped through and vanished. And that was the event, and he'd gone. And it's horrifying. But it's a really cool little game. It's interesting that it's kind of like a roguelike, in that the idea is that you get resources to the end of your run, and then the next time everything's jumbled up, and you get different routes and different combinations of things. It's a really cool little game. I really quite like it. And that's what I've been playing.
Okay, fantastic. Myself, playing Star Trek Online. That's just finished the event that was going on today. Got another one starting next week. So it's just generic. Oh, yeah, you can get some bonus stuff by doing these things. Until then, it's no... no special thing, but next time you can get some special shields and weapons and stuff. I believe it's ship equipment for doing 20 of these daily whatevers. I didn't actually find out what you have to do 20 times. I think it progresses to the next part of the Year of Klingon stuff that they've had going on. Simpsons Tapped Out has just started a mini jazz event. I say mini event because in between the big events change the login screen from the normal Homer running away from the sky finger to, for example, Milhouse walking on the beach with the sky finger, or the sky finger about to smush Homer at the arcade, or you know, normal stuff. I'm hoping the next event is going to be Treehouse of Horror, because those are the best episodes that don't star Sideshow Bob. Of course, any episode that stars Sideshow Bob is better than Treehouse of Horror, because it has Sideshow Bob in it. I'm not a not a fan of Sideshow Bob, clearly.
I've not got that impression, no.
Totally unbiased. He has his own theme music, come on. Dauntless, still getting... progressing slowly through the Hunt Pass. Not played an awful lot of it, just a few hours at the weekend. Data Live, Spirit Pledge... they that's started a new event recently. Everything's starting new events. And I've not made much progress in that because for most of these events, they are summon events. You have a higher chance of summoning this outfit or this character. And it's you don't exactly stumble over the fate badges which you need to summon things, so I don't really make much progress in these events. But I'm playing it for the storyline, which again I'm not making much progress in. Now I think about it, I've not really played much of Data Life Spirit Pledge. I did start a new game, Castlevania Lords of Shadow. Played that for a few hours. And it's pretty good. And can't remember the last Castlevania game I played, but this was like on Game Pass or free with Xbox Games with Gold or whatever. So I've been meaning to get around to that. And finally did. Yeah, it controls all right. It's not overly difficult on the difficulty setting I have it on. And the giant wolves are annoying. I went back and played a bit of Transformers Devastation, a game which has not been available since 2017, because it came out in 2015, so its 5-year anniversary is, starting next week. So I wanted to write a piece about it, and you can find that on site towards the end of this week, start next week. Make sure you read that. It's about why Transformers Devastation is the best 80s cartoon game, despite being released in 2015. And just earlier today, I finally finished Yakuza 0.
Hey!
63 hours and 45 minutes. No, I did not finish all of the side missions and stuff. I didn't even get 60% completion. I think it was like 59%.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I wanted to try and do the cabaret club with Majima, but the final boss was cheating and it wound me up. And also, as I was dropping off to sleep, I read when I'm just before I go to sleep. So I'm there reading and I start dropping off and I'm seeing this cabaret club mini game before I'd jerk awake and, oh, okay, read a bit more. I've just finished this page and dropping off. A cabaret club minigame. Cabaret club minigame. So, yeah, I thought, nope. I've had it with that cabaret club minigame. I'm going to go through, finish the game. And I did. And it's a fantastic ending. And people should play Yakuza 0. And presumably the rest of the Yakuza games.
Yeah, you know you've played too much Yakuza when you start seeing it when you're dropping off to sleep. That's probably a sign to move on.
It wasn't even like a dream where I was in the game or I was Majima or no, I was playing the game. The on-screen prompt started coming up and no. I put so many hours into that.
No, that's awesome. No, it's one of those games that I've bitted and bobbed and gone into a few times and started, but I've never stuck with it, and I need to, because they've always sounded amazing games, and I feel like I should play them all. So, yeah, it's definitely on the list, and we'll get round to that.
I have installed Yakuza Kiwami, ready to move on to that. I have also installed a patch for high-resolution character textures, which, judging from the screenshots, doesn't do too much. Another one for depth of field disabler to stop the backgrounds getting blurry. And another one for licensed music restoration patch. Apparently the main theme music was licensed song, and Sega decided to not license it for release in the West. So it's different music. And I saw that patch was available on the Steam community and figured, yeah, why not? And I've been playing Nikki, Take It Away.
Oh boy.
She'll be more eloquent than we can.
So, okay, we've all been playing Genshin Impact. This is a new game that has just launched as of yesterday at the time of recording. And okay, this is a weird one because it got announced quite a while back, and it was like, hey, this looks like Zelda Breath of the Wild, but slightly more anime. Wait, this is free to play and coming to mobile, PC, and PS4? Color me interested. And I think most of us here at the Grincast did a similar thing, which was, we're just going to go in blind, because it's free to play, why not? And so we did. And I think the best way to sum this up is, you know, we have a chat where we all, you know, where we all chat. And I think what sums up beautifully was Ace posting in that chat this morning to about 200 plus messages of what was essentially me, Rhodes, and Puce just talking about this game.
233.
So, yeah. So yeah, it's free to play, and it does not deserve, like, it has no right to be as engaging and as pretty as it is for a free title. Now, slight classification, if you're playing on PlayStation 4, I think it was to pre-register, you had to pre-order, there was like a premium pack, but otherwise it is free to play. It is very much a mobile game in its design, but it feels fantastic on PC and on PlayStation as well. It's got gacha, it's got Breath of the Wild elements, it's got some kind of Nier-esque combat going on, there's some really cool exploration, the story is engaging, there's a cooking mini game, there's things to discover, there are so many good waifus and really hot guys. But like, I don't even know where to begin to explain it. I was trying to explain this to a work colleague earlier. Like, this game is just literally captivating. It just works. I saw a meme where someone said Breath of the Wild walked so that this game could run. Because there's no questions about it. It's very much inspired by Breath of the Wild. But I refuse to call it a clone because it's so much more. But it's mind-blowing that it is essentially a free game. And there's like, there's easily 20 plus hours worth of content at launch. And they've got massive plans. And like, I'm excited to just stop recording this podcast so I can keep playing, to be honest with you.
Stay.
No. I need to level up. But I think everyone else is actually further ahead than me because I forgot to preload it, so it took forever to download. But I know we're all enjoying it here on the podcast. This might be the first game that we've all kind of just agreed is fun.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling because, like you say, it's the predominant comparison up to release has always been Breath of the Wild, and while superficially, yes, it's definitely inspired by. You can see
there's goblin camps, there's climbing up mountains.
Yeah, the whole climbing mechanic's lifted straight from Breath of the Wild, in that you can
glider thing.
Yeah, but structurally, it's very different. It's much more traditional RPG than Breath of the Wild. It's although there's plenty of exploration, the questing's not freeform questing. It's more you talk to NPCs, they say, oh, can you go and gather some X from Y for me, please? Or oh, there's this thing over here that's terrorizing such and such a place. Can you investigate? And so it's much more traditional in the quest structure. But it does have that look about it. But the art is absolutely stunning. And it's for a free game, to have this sort of level of AAA polish is kind of unheard of. I
keep forgetting it's free.
Yeah, yeah. This is the thing. It doesn't feel free, which I know is a weird thing to say, but it's so polished. The only thing that kind of clues you in is the obvious gacha mechanics, which are used for, so far at least, predominantly characters and weapons. Although you do get plenty of, you get characters interspersed through the main quest. There are some at fixed points in the story that you obtain, and same with weapons. And you will find weapons in chests and things, but a lot of the higher tier ones, or probably maybe gacha only. At this point, we don't really know, but you're not kind of limited by the gacha at this point. It's more like as an added thing. It's not like they've taken portions of the game out and stored them in the gacha.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I haven't felt any need to actually play the gacha. Like, I'm only a few hours in, but it's there and it's cool, but I haven't felt any need to get it. But I'm slowly just accumulating more of the currency to spend on it through playing the game. And maybe it's just because it's the launch event, and usually these sorts of games, they give you lots of bonuses during like certain periods of time. Like, we're just getting handed items, but it's a weird one, because in the menu, when I was like looking at controls, there is a dedicated button on PC to open the battle pass. That button doesn't do anything right now. I know Rhodes mentioned as well, there's daily quests when you get to a certain level. So I'll be curious to see if, say, like this time next week, when we've probably all gotten to a level where we've unlocked pretty much every feature, how we feel. And I'm curious about the end game as well, because it is a single player game, but you can party up with friends to basically run around the world and do dungeons. And considering it's crossplay between all platforms, that's amazing. I love the fact that you could just, you know, go around to a mate's house. I mean, maybe not right now because lockdown, but in an ideal world, you could go to your mate's house with your phone and play with them whilst they're on like their PS4. It is cross save as well, apart from the PS4, which is a bit weird. So you can't take your save to PS4 and you can't take it off the PS4, but you can do PC mobile, no problem. And it's coming to Switch later as well, hopefully before the end of the year. So if they can let you do cross save across Switch, PC and mobile, sorted.
Yeah, it kind of blows my mind that it's Unity as well.
Is it?
Yes.
What?
Because I was thinking, what engine is it? Is it Unreal? And like, no, it's Unity. And I was thinking, huh,
it's a bit more obvious if you try to move the camera through trees, the way that they kind of dissolve. It very much looks like other Unity games.
But yeah, it's kind of fascinating, which bodes well for the Switch version, to be honest. I mean, I know there's been games that run on Unity on Switch that have been a bit hit and miss, but that for the most part, Unity stuff on Switch runs okay, so it does bode well for that version of the game. But yeah, it's such an odd game to explain why it's fun to play. I suppose it's similar to the draw of Breath of the Wild. It's just fun to move around. Exploring the world feels like you're exploring because you don't really know what you're going to find.
With Breath of the Wild, you can like as soon as you start, you can go to the end boss. You reach the end of the first quest line, and it says, right, well, now you need to level up to adventurer level 10, and then you can do the next thing. So it's encouraging you to wander off and explore and open chests and kill whatever they're called, goblin things,
slimes.
So many slimes.
It's interesting though, because like right at the start, it was like, you know, it's like basic tutorial, and then you get to a cliff and it does the pan of the camera where it's like, oh, it's the open world. I spent 20 minutes just literally running around picking up everything, because I was like, I know from playing Breath of the Wild that all of this food is going to be important. I was like climbing trees, I was chasing lizards, and I was like, right, okay, there we go.
Yeah, there's some interesting effects on food as well, like that affect the whole party of characters, because that's the other thing as well. You're not just controlling a character, you're controlling a party that you can change between at any time, including in combat. So you end up with some quite strategic combat happening. I got lucky with one of my gacha pulls and pulled a really cute little girl that's got a spirit tag on her forehead that's an ice character. And she can summon the spirit that's been bound to her, and it circles her, and every now and again it'll pulse a freezing blast. And she's also got an attack on the shoulder button that freezes an area in front of her in a big explosion. And she's really quite powerful. But the fun thing is that you can combo the ice moves with the fire moves to generate status effects. And there's so many combinations so far that I can't remember the names for them all, because they've kind of got unusual names. They're not the usual thing.
I was trying to think of the name that it gave when I did a electric attack and then a wind attack.
Yeah, but you can, like you said, with the wind especially, because you can create tornadoes that you can then use to gain lift. And there's all sorts of interesting combinations. There's like the obvious things, like you can use lightning in water to electrify everything that's in the water, but you can also freeze water that you're running over. And if you use fire on a frozen enemy, you give them the melt effect, which does damage over time.
I have to, just to follow on to that, one of my favorite moments so far playing, and this is only like 2 hours in, was going into one of the dungeons early on and shooting a crystal that exploded, and like it was a hydro crystal, so it then started making it rain. So then all these fire slimes started to evaporate. So then I cast ice and it froze them all. I then quickly switched to fire, set the ground back on fire, which began to melt them, and then switched to wind, cast the tornado ability, which then made a fire tornado and sent all of these fire slimes that was like currently melting and evaporating just off into the distance, and they all just died. And that happened in like 2 seconds, and it was amazing. And the other like great thing about the abilities and the elements is they actually all have a practical use in the world and like for puzzle solving. Like I found in Breath of the Wild that like you didn't necessarily always use those. Like, the fact you could burn things with fire didn't always get used, but there's, like, legitimate reasons to use it in this. The same with the ice, the wind. Like, there's a good reason to have a wide range of characters you can switch to, so you can utilize those abilities to actually progress through the world in interesting and creative ways.
You know what it doesn't have?
What?
A long time for someone to say what. It doesn't really have a stealth mechanic. You know what also doesn't have a stealth mechanic? Konami. Because it was recently revealed that the Taiwan Digital Games Rating Committee had rated Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid 2. And sure enough, shortly after that, GOG... used to be called Good Old Games, released Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid 2, Subsistence, and Castlevania, and Contra. Oh, and the original Metal Gear, so not Metal Gear Solid. So you can buy those now on GOG. And
not that you should.
Yeah, they're just straight ports. They haven't been improved, or
yeah, they're the original PC ports from like the turn of the century, and they're not great. They were okay at the time, but gamepad support even then was ropey. It's even ropier now.
Not even the Twin Snakes edition of Metal Gear Solid.
If you really must play them and you have no other way of playing them, I guess they're okay. But seriously, just get the HD collection on the Xbox or PlayStation. That's the best way of playing 2 and 3. And for the first one, just play the original.
A bit before, moments before the announcement, Konami tweeted some emojis, and then GOG quote tweeted them with the exclamation mark, and it was like, GOG's announcing Metal Gear, are they?
It's a shame as well, because like this is the first time they've been available on PC in like forever years, and it's just such a terrible release.
It's just such a lazy release. It's like, come on, Konami, couldn't you at least fund a port of the HD collection?
I mean, GOG are known as a company that improves games for release.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they've really touched them in any meaningful way, which is a shame. It's like even butchering in proper gamepad support would have made all the difference to MGS2.
I know what they did. They put a compatibility setting in the XE.
Yeah, it's just such a shame. It's just such a lazy way for Konami to get them onto PC in some form. And people will buy them just because they want Metal Gear games without really knowing much about these versions. But they're really not the best way of playing them at all. Take any other way of playing them. Even Twin Snakes, which both me and Ace love, but apparently we're the only people that love that game.
Yeah, why would you like that?
Because Snake backflips over a missile. But something he doesn't do is farm.
You're nailing these segues today.
And pretty soon you won't be able to either, because Zynga are closing down Farmville. Of course, you'll still have Farmville 2 Tropic Escape and Farmville 2 Country Escape, and also Farmville 3 when it comes out.
What? when did that happen?
It's not out yet. But yeah, the original Farmville is going to be no more on the 31st of December. If you still want to give them money through in-app purchase, you can do that until the 17th of November, which doesn't sit right with me personally. But then you won't be able to give them any more money for a month and a half before the game is shut down completely.
I'm guessing they're finally just closing it because of flash support on everything just going away.
Yeah, the opening paragraph says, as previously stated, Adobe will stop distributing and updating Flash Player for all web browsers, and Facebook will stop supporting Flash games on the platform completely after 31st December 2020. Farmville will therefore be directly affected as a result of this. So we're not updating it to a new platform.
So basically, reading between the lines, what they're saying there is if we could still support it and take your money for this 11-year-old game, we would be. Look, we're still running Farmville 2, both versions of it, and we've got another one coming, so we've got all the Farmvilles. It kind of blows my mind that it's 2009 that it came out.
Yeah. I admittedly never got into it because everyone else was playing it. I was like, oh, I'm too cool to play the game that everyone else is playing.
Now, I have to admit, I did play it for quite a while, but like a lot of these games, I'm kind of obsessed with them for like a month, and then I'll just stop. And there's no particular reason. It's one of those things that I just do. For some reason, I'll just stop and move on to whatever the current popular thing is. I just want to be liked.
Nikki, did you ever play Farmville?
I'm having PTSD flashbacks right now.
There was this cafe one, I forget what it was called, probably Caféville or something, that I was a bit obsessed with. I even dropped actual money on it. I feel dirty saying that.
It was all the rage back in college, and I remember, like, coming from college, like open Facebook, and there'd just be like loads of notifications from people being like, "Do you have this item?" And I was just like, "Fucking Farmville, please
send me stamina, send me turnips."
No, get your own fucking turnips.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said turnip. Should I?
Animal Crossing's the new Farmville.
Jeez.
Well, As I said, you won't be able to spend any money in Farmville. Something else you won't have to spend money on is Frontier's expansion for Elite Dangerous. The Elite Dangerous Horizons expansion is being folded into the main game. So if you haven't claimed your SRV Scarab and gone onto some planets, then you won't have to spend any extra money to do that. The expansion came out 5 years ago. If you did buy it, or buy it before the update on the 27th of October, you will get a Azure paint job, which is compatible with all 41 ships currently available in the game, which hints that it won't be available to use. It won't be compatible with the 42nd onward ships. But anyway, that's it's nice that you get something extra for this five-year-old expansion.
Yeah, I'm sure people are still salty, going, "Oh, well, what did I get from it? I've had this game 5 years, and they're giving it away now."
I feel bad for anyone who bought it like at the weekend, or and then.
Yeah, that's true. Because it has been on sale frequently the last 6 months or so. You've been able to pick it up for a tenner.
The way I look at it is, if you thought it was worth paying money for, then that's your fault. If you didn't think it was worth the amount you paid for it, then why did you pay that amount for it?
And to be brutally fair, the paint job is probably at least what you paid for it if you bought it recently, so that's fine.
Expensive paint job, but again, compatible with all of the ships that you currently own.
But yeah, I mean, this makes a lot of sense with the upcoming expansion Odyssey, being able to walk around on foot in the stations and on planet surfaces. It would be odd if half of the player base, or however many people don't have the expansion at this point, wouldn't be able to enjoy that, because they wouldn't be able to go to planet surfaces and they would just be left staring longingly out of space station windows going, "But what if one day I could go onto the planet?" So it makes sense that they've baked planet access into the base game now. It just makes sense. It seems silly separating the player base even more.
Yeah, you know, personally, I'd be more reluctant to come to the game if it has two expansions that I can buy than if it has one expansion that I can buy.
Yeah, and to be fair, this is kind of what's becoming the norm with the MMOs these days. I mean, WoW's done it for quite a while now, where they'll bake in all but the most recent expansion when the next one comes out. And Final Fantasy XIV's done the same, where with Shadowbringers, they baked the previous expansions into the base package.
And Destiny 2... Oh, wait.
Destiny 2 is kind of half doing that. It's like Forsaken and whatnot are becoming on Game Pass. So if you play on Game Pass,
you're
kind of prepared. But
they've just recently done that as well. So like everything's now on Game Pass. So if you're, you know, now's the best time to play Destiny if you don't mind doing everything within like 6 weeks.
I was gonna say, the cynic in me says they've only done that because they know they're removing that content in a few months anyway, so you're not gonna.
But it's okay.
Do anything.
It's okay because they announced that when they do this and remove the content, the game will go down to about 50 to 60 gigs rather than 120. But we'll have to re-download the whole game.
You have to re-download the whole thing.
Just gonna lay on my floor and moan. Video games.
Yeah, well, I think we're just going to all be in the fetal position when our games all start updating.
Well, you shouldn't lay on the floor with this next news piece, because Galgun Returns has been announced, coming west for Nintendo Switch, PC, and Xbox One.
My body is ready.
Galgun 2 came out on the PlayStation 4 and PC, so it's interesting that the Xbox is getting the remake of the first game, which is 10 years old. Not the remake, the original game. It's coming out next year, and the Switch version is going to have a physical release. The others are going to be digital, and Switch will have digital, of course. One of the selling points in the press release that I was sent, and hence why I said you shouldn't be laying on the floor, is that there are going to be a grand total of 423 types of panties waiting to be discovered.
Hang on. I shouldn't lay on the floor, and then you mentioned there's all these panties. Like, surely being on the floor is... I should shut up now.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that they didn't round it up to 425 or 423. We can't add any more color variations now. There's literally just those.
If you add up the numbers, it's probably a good luck number in Japan or something. I don't know.
But yeah, if for some reason I thought the first game did come out, but it was Double Piece, isn't it? That's the one that came out. Right. So it's kind of crazy actually that the first game kind of skipped the West. So.
Yeah, if you are unaware of Galgun as a concept, it's the I'll just read the description. The entertaining story of a young man who becomes super popular with the opposite sex and is now living the unfortunate life of having every lady that looks his way confessing their undying love for him. But he must steel himself and fend these would-be lovers off with his special weapon, known as a pheromone shot, as he tries to win the affection of one of the main protagonists. Galgun is the crazy combination of arcade-style shooting action and dating sim that truly has no equal.
There's
no reason for that.
I have spoken a lot about these games over the years because there's two things. One, they are genuinely so much fun and just hilarious. Like, don't take them seriously. But you can't. It's physically impossible. That they're a lot of fun. And two, because they are basically the only thing at the minute that really counts as a light gun game. Because yeah. Time Crisis ain't giving me Time Crisis, but Girl Gun got me covered.
It's basically Time Crisis with panties, and that's all you need to know.
That's literally all I've been wanting.
I should have just let you say that.
It's Time Crisis with panties, yes.
Time Crisis with an entirely female roster and lots of panties.
The only thing that really sucks, and I mentioned this actually in one of my reviews of one, I think it was the second game, is like, it just sucks that like you have to be a guy, like because you never see the protect, like you never see the, yeah, anything to do with like the protagonist.
Yeah.
I'd love it if they just decided like, just pick a pronoun at the start, go, because that'd be great. That would just make things so much better and easier. But yeah, it's like there's a full on cover system. There's the weird intimate mini games. Like, look, you know at this point that I like absolute trash.
It's the right kind of lewd, unlike Moro Crystal H, which is a bit too far in the kind of taking itself too seriously and making it too sexual without being fun with it. Whereas Galgun just plays it for laughs and it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, and you get multiple. There's points throughout the games where like you get to make a decision on like how to move forward, and there's always the option to be basically like the dumbest idiot. Like I think it's in the Double Piece. There's a moment where, of course, one of the girls gets stuck in a window. Of course she does. It's an anime, and you got to like, do you try and push her out the window? You try and pull her back in. And no, one option is just play a drum solo on her butt. Spoilers, that's the right answer. If you're going for her, that's the right answer.
Of course it is.
It's also very easy to cheese those games. I managed to break the second game within 20 minutes.
Oh dear.
Please play them. Please play the Girl Gun games, because they're just brilliant. And if anyone from Bandai Namco is listening, please bring back Time Crisis. Can you just release Time Crisis on PC? Just all of them.
Just do a Time Crisis collection with all four or five of them. And
if you do a Time Crisis collection, then that'll be my panties off.
And if you brought it to the Switch and supported motion aiming, it's not ideal, but it's the best we've got for now.
It's the best we're going to get if they do.
Just worth noting, Galgun 2 Complete Edition and Galgun Double Piece Ultimate Edition are both 40% off on PlayStation 4. you're both now checking what DLC you get with its costumes and avatars and stuff.
I have Galgun 2 on PC. I don't have Double Peace, which I have Double Peace on the Vita, but
I can't remember which one I have, but I should reinstall that and have a go. But and speaking of games that don't take themselves seriously, Yakuza Like a Dragon is it's got a release date. It's coming to Xbox One, Xbox Series, PlayStation 4, Windows 10, and Steam on the 10th of November. It's coming to PlayStation 5 on the 2nd of March. Of course, the Xbox Series will have smart delivery, so you can play your Xbox One version on the Xbox Series consoles. The PlayStation 5 version, you can, if you get Yakuza Like a Dragon on PlayStation 4, you can put that disc in your PlayStation 5 and it will download the PlayStation 5 version at no extra cost. But you cannot transfer your saves because, I don't know, Sony have cloud saves and apparently you can't use a PlayStation 4 save in a PlayStation 5 because they announced that for Spider-Man as well, didn't they?
Yeah, it seems like it's the Microsoft method is basically... The smart delivery buzzword is annoying, but it basically just means that it's one SKU across all five, and it basically, depending on which machine you've got, it'll download appropriate assets. So it's basically the same version, but it's if you've got the newer consoles, it's updated and upgraded. Whereas it seems like Sony are treating them as if they are separate titles altogether, which is why the saves don't work in the same way. Which seems a bit of a weird oversight, and it's kind of unusual because we've seen some games that will, like Spider-Man Miles Morales will. If you play the PlayStation 4 version, you also get the free upgrade to the PlayStation 5, but also your save works. But if you've played Spider-Man PS4 and you end up with the updated Spider-Man, the remaster, your save will not work because it's an entirely separate thing. And it's just the Sony way of doing things is just so confusing because it's on a title by title basis, where pretty much the Xbox approach to it is, if it's the same game and it's got the same title, it'll just work.
It's weird to me also that the PlayStation 5 version is coming in March, whereas every other version is coming.
I'm assuming that's some weird exclusivity for current gen. Or something. So it's like Xbox have got the exclusivity on next gen version. That's the only thing that makes sense because the PS4 version is the same time as the others. So
that doesn't make sense from a
Sega getting extra money out of Microsoft point of view. It makes sense, but for everyone else, it makes literally no sense. But, of course, you will be able to play the PS4 version on your PS5 because it's backwards compatible. Unless it's going to be in that 1% of games. See, the thing is, that 1% of games that they keep saying is just a catch-all, just in case there's something that doesn't work. Everything's going to be backwards compatible. It'll work with everything. Unless it's some
most
obscure Chinese weird Mahjong game that no one has ever heard of.
FIFA 2014.
Yeah, in before none of the FIFA games work. It is a weird thing. It's just interesting the difference in approach between Microsoft and Sony, how they're dealing with the cross-gen stuff.
Well, this game getting its release date finally, it made me think, especially since I've just finished Yakuza 0, Yakuza Like a Dragon doesn't have Kiryu from the main series in it, and it made me think of the main topic, can a franchise outlive its protagonist? Can you have a Metroid game that doesn't have Samus? Can you have a Yakuza game without Kiryu?
Can you have a Metal Gear Solid game without Snake? Oh, wait,
yes.
Can you have a good one without
Snake? Excuse me, yes.
Why is it frequently like a £5?
hey, Metal Gear Rising is a fantastic game that stars Raiden.
Raiden
also, if you want to be technical, technically the main series, the main Metal Gear games have two separate protagonists because Solid Snake and Big Boss are two separate people. So, you know, just saying. Tell you what I would love to see, though, is I would love this to be the case with anime games, because maybe then they could actually make a good Sword Art game. If they don't include fucking what's his name?
Kirito.
Yeah, that guy.
So a Sword Art game where just in the background every so often you see Kirito and Asuna just run past on their way to do the plot from episode 6.
I would love that. That would be a great game just in general.
Or you just get murdered.
You're in the world of one of these popular franchises, but you're like the side character, and every now and again you just see the main characters running off and doing their thing.
Plot twist, you're one of the thousands who died in the opening.
You're the person off to the side still trying to figure out the menu and like trying to figure out how to get to your character screen to put gear on.
There's no tutorial.
But I think series can, but I definitely would imagine, it depends on the brand. I can't imagine Nintendo making a Zelda game without Link and it being a success, because I can imagine people getting proper up in arms about it. Same with like Metroid as well.
Yeah, it's interesting as well, because I think you could probably do quite a good Zelda game without Link Protag. I mean, even if you want to keep it very similar but only subtly different, just include Linkle. I'd love a Linkle-based actual mainline game. Or even Zelda herself. She's proven on numerous occasions that she's not just a damsel. It's just in the mainline game she may as well be. But I don't know. I think it depends on the strength of the IP. It's like Castlevania has pretty much had a different protagonist in every single game. It's just most people don't realise, because they don't really play a Castlevania game for the narrative.
It's usually a Belmont, though, isn't it?
Apart from Alucard, which is probably the best Castlevania game.
I did say usually. Deus Ex has had three different protagonists, four if you include that you could be a boy or a girl in the second one.
Yeah.
The Elder Scrolls, different protagonist every game.
Or is it? It depends.
Depends on which mods you're using.
Yeah. It depends if you're using a waifu mod, and suddenly that's a very different Skyrim to the canon one.
We didn't really get as much mileage out of this topic as I thought we would.
It's funny, I'm just trying to think, I'm trying to actually think of franchises that have had a consistent main character that if you took the character away, it would still stay the same game. Because it's like, you just wouldn't get a Mario platformer without Mario, even though there's nothing to say that game wouldn't work with literally anything else. Because it's like Mario's not even really a character at this point. It's just a visual.
Yeah, that's true. Even in Paper Mario, he doesn't do anything that random O couldn't do.
Yeah, they've not really got... He's not got a characterization. He is very literally a blank slate. But it wouldn't sell. If you took Mario out of a Mario game, still as a Mario.
Technically, it wouldn't be called Super Mario if you took Mario out.
Well, this is true, yeah.
What if they make a game that is... It starts off as Mario, and within the first 10 minutes, Mario dies horribly, and then you play as Luigi, and you're just killing all the other characters, and then at the end, Luigi marries Bowser.
I think I saw that in Newgrounds.
I was going to say, I thought this was a Metal Gear Solid 2 fanfic then, and it was going to be Vamp that comes out at the end. And
we've reached the edgy part of the podcast.
Of the Mario franchise, I thought you were going to say.
Mario. This is why Nintendo will never hire me.
Nintendo in the 36th year of our Lord and Savior Super Mario decide to kill Mario.
Yeah, I mean, because it's interesting with Link and Zelda, really, as well. It's because every Zelda game, it's a different Link and Zelda. They've never really explained how, but just like each generation, there happens to be a Link, a Zelda, and a Ganon.
Except those times when it is the same one.
Yeah, okay, like Majora's Mask. But typically, they're kind of side games normally. They're not like... It's a weird one. Because technically, you're playing a different character every time. It's just they've got the same name. But if you literally changed it up, there would be so much outrage, so much uproar about it. And it's kind of crazy. I'd love to see them do where it's Link is a background, well, not a background character, but you know where it like say they did something party-esque, and Link was still around. He was still like front and center in the game, but you as the protag weren't Link. You were somebody else. That's just Link was with you the entire way. I think that'd be quite interesting, but.
That's Sonic Forces.
Oh, actually, I just realized they did that for the Tenchu series. The last game, Tenchu Z, you technically played as the like new apprentice / generation of Shinobi, yeah. And Rikimaru and Ayame were like the teachers. So they were in the game, but you didn't play as them.
Yeah, they were in the fringes, and they were mentioned in the story all along the way, but. You yourself, you weren't then, yeah.
Isn't it weird that there's never been a Legend of Zelda game where you play as Zelda?
If Zelda was a girl.
Yeah, what if Zelda was a girl?
What if, right, all this time, Link...
Link was Zelda all along.
Yes, that's better than whatever I was going to say.
Instead of Sheik with Zelda... She's actually always been Link. Never realized.
Nintendo. Fight Club situation.
Yes. Nintendo, just give gamers what they want. Give us a new Zelda game that's just a lesbian road trip. Done.
And on that note, we've reached the end of our podcast.
Final Fantasy 15, but instead of four lads, it's just four girls, and for some reason Zelda can drive a car.
I mean,
to be honest,
Link was supposed to have a Wii U controller in Breath of the Wild.
Yes, that's what the Sheikah Slate was based off originally, to represent the Wii U controller.
But anyway, thank you for joining me, Nikki and Puce. You can find us on Twitter at @error_Nikki, at Puce Chan, and myself on at Ace Lister. Of course, don't forget to check out GameGrin.com and keep an eye on wherever social media is posted. Just search for GameGrin for all of the latest news, reviews, and more. Thank you for listening and for subscribing across Amazon Music, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere else. Don't forget that leaving a review, comment, or follow really helps the show out. And while you're at it, game on.